Thank you to our panelists. My Hayekian mindset leads me to doubt my ability to rate all these questions according to some hierarchy of merit, so I'll defer to the aggregate wisdom of the audience, which has marked certain questions with thumbs up signs. So with eight thumbs up, we have Graham Walker asking, aren't the lyrics of rap music an important form of public poetry? It is often transgressive, but multi-directionally, often flouting progressive orthodoxy. What do you think? Are we going to have a conservative poet Super Bowl halftime show anytime soon?
I can start with that, unless you want to go. Is rap poetry? It's usually bad poetry. And the reason I say that is because, I mean, I like rap music. But one thing about music generally, and Bob Dylan won the Nobel Prize, remember that, for literature, which was terrible, is that lyrics, they are dependent upon the music for their musicality. You know, so if you read lyrics on their own, those words were not chosen for the musicality of the words. The music is already there. They are just an accompaniment to the music. So what happens with rap or other sorts of songs is the music is not in the words, it's already external to the words, and it makes the words sound better, more musical, more delightful than they are on their own. But poetry, I think, needs to stand on its own. You know, there was an article recently about, in the Wall Street Journal of all places, how rap musicians using half rhymes is a sign of their great creativity. No, it's half rhymes have been used for a long time, and you use half rhymes because it's easier, you know, to use half rhymes than I have no issue with half rhymes in rap, but I just think that you can't capture the musicality in the words in that way. So,
anyone else want to tackle that?
I would echo that about the half rhyme in particular. I'd say in what's good in the lyrics from the hip-hop or rap world is there is some effort at what traditionally appeals right. in poetry, right? Mm-hmm. The pleasure of rhyme, even if it's often inexpertly executed. The pleasure of rhythm, these things that are a major part of the poetic tradition in the West that academic poetry has largely lost. And so that's good. There is also, I think, in the best of rap, a kind of sense of a tradition, a succession. It's not one that goes back very far, but at least it's not a urgent, perpetual abandonment of the past. And so I think there are fine artistic opportunities there. Rarely in the commercial side of things do we see it realized well.
Yeah, if I can quickly just give a little bit of insight into that. I think that I would agree that rap is indicative of people desiring an expression or an ability to express themselves, which just means, again, that poetry speaks to something inherent about human beings. That said, I think something that all of us might have hinted at is that you require a certain type of formation in order to become a poet. And you have to read other poets, you have to read other lyricists, if you want to put it in a musical manner. I'm cynical or skeptical as to whether a lot of rap artists do engage with literature or poetry in a way that one could say it forms or clarifies their own artistic development. So certainly, you know, they understand their own tradition, their own musical tradition, and built on the work of previous artists, but at the same time, that is a musical tradition, that is not a literary poetic tradition. So the question is whether or not we would just not put them in separate categories, which I'm inclined to do instead.
Okay, we'll take one question from the floor.
Well, you have pointed out the problems with legitimate poetry. There is something you may not have noticed that we're in Texas now. I mean, this particular city is a California outbreak, but it's surrounded by a much more roseate state, and we're on the edge of the West, and all through the West and in Texas, there's what's called cowboy poetry, and it has never been away. It continues to grow. I can't give you any numbers on it specifically, but I know that there are more cowboy poetry festival starting every year that I've noticed. And it may not really be poetry when you think of how he misses old Shep, that was the best dog he ever had, or how Paint was the nicest horse he ever rode, or on the other hand, how there was this other horse that left him with his face in the dirt. But it is rhyming metric narrative, and so I think it classes as poetry. And it's going on, and there's a lot of people out there that may not count in your world, but they are out there, and they are listening to poetry all the time, sometimes over a weekend and sometimes for a full week.
Any comment on cowboy poetry?
Let Micah respond to that. We all hate him.
I think cowboy poetry is great. I mean, one of the purposes of art is really is communal, right? And so it connects us to other people. You used to have people in the evening would get together before television and radio and sing songs together and enjoy each other's company. So it doesn't have to be poetry that is read by hundreds of thousands of people. I think it's really valuable to have poetry that you engage in your town, in high schools, and to really enjoy it and to benefit from it. So,
yeah, I would agree with that. I think in some ways my answer is similar to what we just said about rap and hip hop. You don't always find the highest literary quality in the cowboy poetry. But when we're talking about literary standards, I think in some ways we want to make sure we understand. We want to uphold literary standards for what we consider the literary culture of our nation. At the same time, not everyone who takes up the piano needs to be aiming to play Carnegie Hall, right? There's a place for amateur art in the life of our nation, and we should be able to encourage that while upholding not praising bad art as good art at the same time.
What about bear poetry? Anybody have any comments on bear poetry? I'm kidding. Next question here is Alexis de Tocqueville right that we shouldn't expect great art or literature in a popular regime? If so, what does that mean for the project of conservative poetry?
No, he's not right. Because we've had great, observation. America has produced some mid-century American poetry was the best in the world for a period of time. Robert Frost, Monroe, right? T.S. Eliot, obviously. And so I don't think that aristocratic society cannot produce great art. And Robert Penn Warren's Poetry and Democracy was really in part trying to engage that question to see, and his answer is yes, you can have great poetry in a democracy, as long as you have a solid sense of what a self is and some basic metaphysical presuppositions about what it means to be a human being in the world. That's the necessary, I think, baseline for poetry.
I think the implication in Tocqueville is also similar to what Plato says about not allowing poets in society. And I think that this goes back to the Oakeshott comments, that there are two ways of speaking, and the fear is that the rational kind of rhetoric that is demanded of political discourse for us to solve solutions or to solve problems and arrive at solutions is somewhat distinct in the way that poetry or verse expresses itself and speaks to an individual. So, I mean, in that sense, you can certainly get into a conversation as to whether poetry is considered subversive in terms of whatever is meant to be the ends of political action. And that certainly has existed, again, since Plato. He says it in the Republic. So that's an ongoing topic. It's not, and Tocqueville brings it up again, but I would say, again, these are the nice thing about differentiating poetry from politics is that it allows politics to have its sphere and poetry to have its separate sphere. Again, these are separate ways of understanding the human experience. So there is certainly room for it in a democracy as well.
I'm going to try to creatively combine a couple of questions here. One from G. Philip Hughes asks, if we hope to conquer through poetry, wouldn't aiming at songwriting offer a bigger payoff culturally and monetarily than literary poetry? And then another question, when talking with someone who does not read poetry, which poet do you recommend? So if there's a way to creatively respond to both of those.
Well, sure. On the first front, I understand the tendency to think, well, you have to do the songwriting to reach more people, right? But in some ways, that seems sort of like surrendering to Tocqueville's point from the previous question, that we have to find some way to mass market the poetry, so let's sugarcoat it with some nice guitar and a good driving drum section. Ideally, what we want instead is a public educated and prepared for good poetry, right? Rather than trying to sneak the poetry in. And again, the poets are there. So what poets do you? I always recommend starting with Robert Frost if you're looking for a place to start. And it's a name everybody already knows. If we're thinking contemporary poets, it's tricky because oftentimes people are looking for an accessible poet, right? And so names come to mind like Billy Collins, Ted Kooser. Sometimes, though, accessibility in poetry doesn't always lead on to better things. And so I like to think more about looking for hospitable poets, poets who make themselves readable, if not dumbed down. And so I recommend the New Formalist poets, Mark Jarman, Andrew Hudgens, Alison Joseph, A.E. Stallings. These are poets who write at a high artistic level, who are thoughtful, but who also seem to want people to read them.
In Poetry and Democracy, Robert Penn Warren argued that, you know, even though poetry is elitist, the value of good poetry trickles down. So I don't think you actually have good songwriting unless you have also good poetry, you know, from which good songwriting is dependent, right? So, and some of Joseph Bottom, Jody Bottom has written some songs, you know, Dana Joya has written some songs that are, but you can clearly see the difference in what he's trying to do with those poems. They're much more simplistic in a good way, right? But made to go to music, but the poetry is doing something different. So.
Okay, question from James Kushner. As heirs of the Judeo-Christian tradition, how crucial is a recovery of the inspired poetry of the Psalms and scriptures, sine qua non, or a mere option?
certainly, I don't think you have great art without a great religion. I don't think you can have that. So recovery of not just religious language, but ideas and belief, I think it's necessary. And I think one reason that poetry is impoverished is because poets have to write for an audience, and if the audience is largely secular, you as a poet are limited by your audience, you know? And it's not just an individual that makes great poets, it's great societies that make great poets. And so will American poetry recover without also America recovering its religious roots? I don't think it will if it doesn't recover those religious roots. That doesn't mean it's a waste of time or a battle not worth fighting.
I would second that in that I think beauty is really only defensible as a transcendental. It points to something beyond this world. We may be in disagreement about what it points to, but I don't think there's any good materialist reason to care about beauty. And so I think some sense of the metaphysical is necessary for a revitalized art. I'd also say, kind of to flip that question around the other way, that coming to appreciate, for instance, the Psalms as poetry is also necessary for revitalizing our church services, as much as refusing to worship in ugly buildings, acknowledging that there is that beauty matters, that beauty is one of the transcendental signs of the divine.
I will add that, just to bring in one of the questions from the previous set, that poets who do this particularly well in kind of revitalizing the religious influences, but also the metaphysical element, but still in a way that is accessible to the modern kind of taste are really our 20th century poets. So Wallace Stevens was mentioned here, and I think he's excellent for this kind of religious, but also metaphysical, but also very much like contemporary understanding of the modern kind of paradigm. So he's certainly somebody to read for this.
Well, my script tells me concluding announcements are supposed to begin at 4:58, and it's 4:57. So if we do a quick question, quick answer, all the questions on my screen have evaporated, so I don't know where they went. So we'll do quick question, quick answer.
Having a little understanding through the sound system, but it sounded to me, Micah Maddock, as if you were being dismissive of lyrics as poetry, and I would hearken you to the romantic poets and the romantic composers of genius, like Schubert, where you had both excellent music and excellent poetry, if you can understand German especially. And then even now, although he's not one of our guys, Paul Simon writes some exquisite, not all of his stuff, but some of it is quite exquisite, which he then sets to his own music. I mean, it's not that easy to be dismissive of lyrics, I think, if I understood you correctly.
Yeah. Good question. I don't mean to be dismissive, but I think those exceptions prove the rule that generally pop lyrics are not as good than because of the reasons I mentioned before. So,
okay, we are out of time. My instructions tell me to please thank the panel. Thank you, panelists.